Chapter 1. The silver lining of COVID-19 is actually gold. On my computer desk at home, I have two monitor screens connected to my PC while writing this in late 2020. The left side screen has several news outlet websites open from sites like Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, USA Today, YouTube, and the like. Every day, there are the same kinds of front page topics like confirmed cases, viruses, virus-related deaths, the new normal, and the race to get everyone vaccinated. On the right side screen, I have several browser tabs open with information about a group of over 4,000 doctors congregating online weekly to share and discuss topics such as coronavirus defeated, healing millions with some kind of gold-colored liquid. They share that Bolivia has been cured. Additionally, there are thousands of testimonials from average people around the world who have recovered from various diseases from something known as chlorine dioxide. Chlorine dioxide, a chemical compound doing all of this? I think to myself, why don't these doctors, media outlets, U.S. government groups get together and talk things out? It seems like the doctors and the others with testimonials have something really useful here. As I've searched more about this chlorine dioxide treatment, I was surprised to see that there are a lot of warnings about it from our media, government, and many medical professionals. They say that this substance is a toxic bleach, a fake cure, and snake oil. And those that promote it are selling hope to the sick. They also say throw it away and never take it internally. Yet I search further and find that there are even more people from all over the world who use it and say that it has helped them to overcome so many kinds of diseases. I also learned that chlorine dioxide has been used since 1996 and possibly earlier, when it was discovered to help people recover from diseases. I ask a question to myself. What in the world is going on here? I believe that what is happening in the world right now with medicine is an ongoing massive paradigm shift from the way that we have practiced medicine to a newer, simpler, and more effective way. By definition, paradigm shift is a radical change in thinking from an accepted point of view to a new one, necessitated when new scientific discoveries produce anomalies in the current paradigm. And that's from wordnick.com. Over the past two decades, this radical shift has been spreading at the grassroots level across the world. It is a shift from organized, expensive, complex medicine to a simpler, cheaper, more powerful medicine that can be made and used in the home. However, this year, the paradigm shift has turned into a paradigm shove as hospitals, pharmaceutical groups, and governments have been forced to acknowledge and accept what is working during the coronavirus pandemic. You cannot deny a 100% recovery rate from hospitals and doctors, and whole cities being mortality-free from the pandemic. But you don't hear about this at all in the mainstream news outlets. This change to a new medicine is a difficult one to make. Western medicine and Western media has labeled this kind of change as fringe science or fake cures. Old habits, systems, and business practices don't die easily. In fact, those in power positions go into fight mode as they feel threatened by this change. It is more than just fight or flight, though. It is fight or die. They are scrambling to keep things in the status quo so that their paradigm of comfort and cash flow remain constant. But it is not staying that way. What is the status quo? It is small incremental improvements in medicine and healthcare practices to treat the sick. Progress only moves forward at the rate that the system can organize and charge top dollar to the governments, insurance companies, and, in the end, the people. This status quo also includes having a few authorities over the medical system of practices that will allow or disavow what can be counted as medicine or not. As I write this, I am referring to organizations like the FDA, the AMA, CDC, the WHO, the AAFP, the ACS, the AAP, the AAMC, the NIH, the ACOGAs, and so on and so forth. All move at a steady and planned rate of progress with new pharmaceutical drugs and new surgical procedures, cutting-edge technology that costs top dollar to help the sick and the afflicted. However, this new paradigm shift rolls forward with a system that is faster, cheaper, and, in the majority of cases, more effective at helping the sick. This new system is better at preventing people from getting sick and more effective at helping them to get well. These traditional groups in power will come to know their current tools and business model for income will be disrupted. The days where Big Pharma controls the medical business model are numbered. What is the new paradigm? Chlorine dioxide can be produced in the home for a cost of a few dollars per person for a year's supply. When it is taken internally, there are thousands of documented accounts of people being relieved from a full spectrum of small, chronic, and even incurable diseases. It works faster and more powerfully than traditional antibiotics, and it will stop even the most difficult staph/MRSA infections that modern-day antibiotics cannot reverse. There are even testimonials of impossible diseases like malaria, cancer, HIV/AIDS, and autism being successfully treated. Brown's gas therapy, a hydrogen-based molecular treatment, runs neck and neck with what chlorine dioxide can do. The doctors on my right computer screen are claiming that hundreds of thousands of COVID patients have recovered at virtually a 100% rate, and their number of recoveries increases daily. Yet, if you converse about this kind of thing in public, you find that people give you funny looks or are just not ready to even consider such a transformation in medicine. I keep sharing it, though. To elaborate further on the size and scope of such a change, I created a table below to show how different things could, would, and will be as this change continues to be proven and embraced. In order to best understand this table, you would need to put on something that I call the what-if glasses. With these lenses on, you could better see what could happen if chlorine dioxide, for instance, were to be understood and accepted in the world. Even if this book material proves to be mostly correct, it will drastically change systems with healthcare, medical doctors, pharmaceutical and insurance companies, and governments as they relate to the sick. By looking at the table below, it is easy to see that the biggest impacts with this type of change would be financial. There is very little money to be made or charged with a medicine that you and your neighbors can make in the homes for a few dollars. This would impact the more than $1 trillion industry in medication and possibly reduce it to a small fraction of what it is today. Another impact is medical effectiveness. The claims with chlorine dioxide are that the sick recover much quicker than with conventional medicine. Additionally, there are the many diseases that we currently understand to have no cure or require a lifetime of medication. This is not necessarily the case with chlorine dioxide. More and more individuals are giving testimonials of being freed from sickness like herpes, AIDS, cancers, diabetes, etc. Lastly, it is the simplicity of how to use chlorine dioxide that motivates me to write this book. You can teach millions of people how to self-medicate in a way that is safe, quick, inexpensive, and easy to learn. If you can follow a recipe instructions to make cookies, you can learn how to correctly make and use chlorine dioxide. Now, on this next page, which is page 16 of the edition 3, 3.0 of the book. I have a table, and the table is titled Current Healthcare versus Chlorine Dioxide Healthcare. What if possibilities? And basically, the table is two columns. One is our current medical system, our current healthcare paradigm, I guess I call it on the table. And the one on the right side, the column on the right, is called the Chlorine Dioxide and Other Simple Molecule Medicine Healthcare Paradigm. Basically, it's what if we were to understand and effectively use these medicinal molecules. So on the left side again, back to the current healthcare paradigm, I'm going to compare these and run down the list here. The question I ask on the very left is, where is the medicine produced? And with our current healthcare paradigm, it is produced in centralized biochemical production facilities. How many medicines are used? There are over 24,000 lab-produced drugs to treat illnesses. And again, these are produced in biochemical production facilities. There are various and multiple drug combinations to treat each of the thousands of medical conditions. How is this healthcare system managed? It is managed by the government, legislation, pharmaceutical companies, and insurance policies, prescribed by certified medical professionals. Are there any costs to this system? Yes, for the current system. Administrative costs include hospitals, facilities and staff, doctor's offices, billing departments, insurance claims offices, insurance systems, Medicare administration, for the uninsured, human resources, liability insurance, malpractice costs, and so on and so forth. The production costs for one drug, for each drug that is produced, that's out of the 24,000, it costs between $15 million to over $1 billion per drug approval, and that is with production and distribution costs. The possible side effects of these drugs in our current paradigm, there are dozens of side effects written on each insert for each prescription. I particularly remember one of mine that I was reading. It was about 3 or 4 pages long. Very, very tiny print. Deaths related to side effects. And again, with our current system, there are over 128,000 deaths per year and 1.9 million hospitalizations from side effects of prescribed drugs. This type of death is called iatrogenics. Iatrogenics. Now, that was the left column. I'm going to ask the same questions or answer the same questions that are listed on the chlorine dioxide paradigm column that's on the right side. Where is the medicine produced? In your home or a local pharmacy in some lab there? How many medicines are used? Well, there are between 1 to 4 protocol substances used to treat most any of the thousands of medical conditions. These are chlorine dioxide, DMSO, MMS2, and bentonite clay, and also hydrogen and hydrogen-based molecules. How is the healthcare system managed? It is managed by the individual and in the home or local community. You self-prescribe or you are trained by local individuals. Are there other costs to this system? Well, again, for the chlorine dioxide and simple molecular medicine paradigm, it would be about under $40 per person per year. The information is free, and the tools needed are household containers and measuring spoons, empty capsules, syringes, and a scale. Patients generally recover in their homes. Now, the production costs, again, I've listed about $15 to $20 per person per year. Or if you're using all of these molecular medicines, more like $40 to $50 a year. Possible side effects from medicine, again with the chlorine dioxide right side column. You've got a Herxheimer reaction, which is flu-like symptoms that are including nausea and diarrhea. And this is, you also can get a Herxheimer reaction from normal antibiotics, just to give you an idea of how that works or what it is. And deaths related to side effects from chlorine dioxide or these other molecular medicines. Well, on record, there are about 2 to 3 reported deaths over the past 24 years. These reports are based on claims that do not have substantiated medical data. Now I am finished with that table, and I'm going back into the text of the book. The SWAT team versus the cleaning crew. Another way to see the two paradigms. Before getting into the more scientific details of the next chapter, let me wind down this chapter with an analogy of the two different approaches to taking care of our body's medical health. In this analogy, let's pretend that our body is a functional home, like a house, with a kitchen, bedrooms, closets, and other rooms. It also has things like electrical wiring, plumbing, water pipes, and sewer line to take out the wastes. Please excuse my home improvement example. I was a construction contractor for over a decade, and I'm used to using an example that's familiar to me. Now, let's pretend that our body/home, has become infested with rotting food or roaches, mold, and mice. Also, maybe there is a backed up toilet that has made a mess in the bathroom too. On the inside, we are literally being overrun by some pests and toxic materials. I compare modern medicine's approach to solving the problem to bringing a highly trained SWAT team to the home. They show up with their high-tech laser-guided weapons, night vision, combat knives, hand grenades, poison gas, and, just in case, a flamethrower. They even look good with specialized uniforms and protective shielding and matching colors. Their team goes from room to room with this arsenal and successfully wipes out any and all detectable problems with great precision and power. They start with the small and precise weapons, but move to bigger ones as needed. In some extreme cases, they need to torch the whole area or plant a large explosive to try and stop the infestation problem or other issues. They are some of the most intelligent and effective individuals from society, and they are expertly trained at killing off and extracting most of the infestation and garbage. Sometimes they miss some of the smaller pests, but they are still pretty effective. However, what is the condition of the walls, the floors, and lights of the home after they are done with their work? Are there new holes in the ceilings, cracks in the windows, broken light bulbs and doors that no longer work because of these side effects of the efficient and powerful team? As a part of the analogy, imagine that a couple of SWAT team patrols came by periodically to check on the home and regularly shot and burned any new pests or problems that came up. How functional is this home? Would you have to use extra electricity to heat it in the winter because there are holes in the walls and windows? If the roof had holes shot in it, would the leaky ceiling bring in more mold and damage to the walls? Is it possible that a detonated explosive may have caused some structural damage to the foundation of the home as well? It is also possible that bathrooms or closets are now unusable because of the SWAT team's work. The answer is yes. The home may have future and constant problems because it can't keep itself warm, can't keep the water out of the damaged roof, and the doors won't close very well and some of the toilets don't flush anymore. It is still an effective system for getting the infestation out of the home, but there are side effects that we accept as a part of the process. Chlorine dioxide, on the other hand, is like a crew of very tiny custodians, the cleaning crew that can also handle pest control. No fancy high-tech precision rifles, no heavy-duty flamethrowers or expensive grenades. Their mops, rags, and cleaning supplies consists of a 3-atom molecule called chlorine dioxide. They may not even have uniforms or company logos on their vehicles when they show up, but what they do is extremely well, and that is to clean and remove pests, germs, and mold. Now, hydrogen also does a very similar thing here. I just hadn't written it into the book. They scrub, sweep, wipe down every nook and cranny of the home. They get behind the walls, in the attic, behind the toilets, and under the kitchen sink. They remove bad odors and mold and fungus and put everything in contained bags to be taken out with the trash. They also are very careful to not dent walls, scratch paint, or crack windows. Sometimes these methods take longer to clear an area than a grenade, but it is much less damaging on the walls and fixtures in the home. Actually, there's no damage to the surrounding areas. They leave those things alone and just focus on the dirt, grime, and pests. Other than the fact that this crew is extremely effective at their cleaning, I would say that they are actually a plain and boring group. Simple, small, non-invasive, they leave no holes or scars to the structure where they work. When they show up to work, you know that they will only be around for an hour or two for the cleaning session. Then they are gone, completely gone. Also, when they are done for a session, they leave behind a bundle of some things that help to keep the place clean after they are gone. Now, I hope that no one is offended by my analogy. I was raised with the SWAT team healthcare system, and I raised my family with it as well. It is a decent system if you can afford it. Yet, as I get older, I see how it does have its flaws, with side effects and surgery scars. I am grateful for it, but I simply want to emphasize with this opening chapter of this book that there is a newer system that has great improvements from the old one. It costs about 1/1000th or less than our current system. It is simpler to use, and it causes less damage to the body. It has the potential to dramatically shrink and even wreck the pharmaceutical industry business model. That change is why it has met so much resistance since its discovery. So, let me return back to my two computer screens on my desk that I wrote about at the beginning of this chapter. Again, the left side has the pandemic drama, and the right side, medical breakthroughs and excitement. We now live in a world of pandemic crisis. This is not just something relating to health, infection, and death rates. It is a crisis that affected every lifestyle, community, government, economy, and nation throughout all of the world. It is also this very same crisis that triggered doctors to become desperate enough to try something new against the disease in Mexico, Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia, and many other countries. This was a huge shift from the norm because it is typically frowned upon and oftentimes illegal for hospitals to prescribe alternative medicine to their patients. That was the old paradigm. We are now witnessing the massive growth of the new paradigm. With this new perspective, medical doctors saw that chlorine dioxide worked, and they were going to tell all of their friends and colleagues throughout the world. For over 24 years, various quacks and other alternative medicine therapists have been talking about what chlorine dioxide can do. People listened and started using it. However, it has been highly ridiculed by mainstream news outlets and governments. It was considered, and still is considered, to be on the fringe of science and medicine. Now, thousands of doctors and scientists have joined the research and practice. They are just beginning to publish their findings in medical and scientific journals at a rate that has never been done before. The floodgates of truth have opened, and the medical world is learning that those quacks actually had something of value with this chemical compound. Chlorine dioxide, as a medicine, is now in the spotlight, and the forces against change are scrambling to suppress and stop it. I think that it is too late for those forces. Chlorine dioxide, along with other molecular medicines available to us, are here to stay because we are all discerning and proving truth. And what is that truth? It is that simple molecular medicines are safely and quickly destroying viruses without the help of vaccines, faster and stronger and milder than pharmaceutical antibiotics, costing about 1/1000th of the cost of traditional pharmaceutical medicines, bringing an end to allergies, bringing an end to autoimmune disease, and helping athletes to improve physical performance and recovery times. Simple molecular medicines are not cures for a disease. They are solutions for all disease.